Here's what happened this morning with Stacey and Clayton.
Let's play the scenario game, shall we, Stacey? Mm-hmm. Or the scenario game, as we like to call it. Here's the old scenario. You're washing the dishes, and you do not have a dishwasher in this situation. Someone comes from behind you and puts a dish in the sink. Not beside the sink, in the sink. And they don't place it in there. They kind of throw it where it splashes a bit. You're doing the dishes. And this happens. What do you do?
Turn around and kill them.
Oh,
instantly.
Okay.
I cannot stand it when people throw things in the sink while I'm doing the dishes, because I have a very specific order and process that happens when I do the dishes. I hate extra food chunks in the water.
Mm-hmm. Gross.
So chances are, if they're just bringing you a plate, it's probably dirty.
Yeah.
And you're going to get chunks in the water. I hate it.
Well, you know what's worse than the chunks in the water? The aftermath, when the chunks just sit there in the sink when they all clump together. Blah.
So gross.
Blah.
In this case, they need to put the plate, the cup, whatever, just on the sink next to the...
See, why is beside the sink totally okay, but in the sink?
Because that's my space. That is my space that I am cleaning these dishes in. And you don't get to decide when things go in the water. I put them in when I want them to.
What if they, like, not slam the dishes down, but again, just toss them down beside
you? Even worse.
Clank, clank, clank.
Even worse.
Do them.
Okay, have some respect.
What if the person cooked? Did all the cooking.
Doesn't
you didn't
matter.
Lift a finger. You didn't lift a finger. They made you like a 4-course meal. It was the best thing you ever ate. And they did this afterwards. You're on dishes.
Put it on the sink. Put it on the sink next to me. Do not throw it in the water.
Even when they just made you this 5-star meal.
Yes. 100%. This is my sink and I'm doing the dish I'm doing the dishes.
I just love how beside the sink, totally fine.
I know.
6 inches to the left.
What?
Leave the room before I rip your head off.
And that music means it's draft time.
Yes.
Time for another Cruise Mornings draft. Today's draft, it's the villain draft. 5 rounds. We're taking bad guys, bad girls from movies, TVs, books, real life, whatever. It's the villain draft. Whoever has the most evil team wins.
Okay.
We don't do this for the wins, though. We do this for the silliness.
Yeah.
Like, we do this for the process, not the end result. The actual draft is always the funnest part.
Yeah.
So, rock, paper, scissors. See who goes first.
Of course.
Rock, paper, scissors. Dang it.
Always me.
I'm 0 for 4.
I think you are.
On the rock, paper, scissors.
Okay, first in the Cruise FM villain draft, I am picking Hans Gruber, Die Hard.
Nice. It's a nice number one overall pick there.
Thank you.
My number one pick in the villain draft, I'm going to go with Caillou.
Okay.
Caillou. Number one pick.
The bald cartoon kid.
Yes.
Okay. Do you want to explain why?
I don't think I need to explain why.
Just
everyone
checking.
Knows Caillou's a monster.
Number two, I'm going with Kathy Bates from Misery.
Oh, man. Good one.
Her name is Annie.
Yeah.
She's the worst.
All right. With my second pick in the villain draft, I'm going with the dentist from Finding Nemo.
See what you're doing here.
No, I'm not. It'll get better.
Okay.
Yeah, but those two are awful. Caillou's such a villain, and the dentist from Finding Nemo taking a small child from his dad, a widow. Gross.
I guess you're
gross.
Right. Okay. Number three for the Cruise FM villain draft,
yeah.
I am choosing the clown from It, Pennywise.
Oh, nice. Okay. My third round pick, I'm going the dentist's niece from the movie Finding Nemo, because she was just as bad.
Okay. My fourth round pick in the villain draw. I'm torn here. I am going to say Darth Vader.
Darth Vader? Oh,
yeah.
Man. Okay. Nice. I am going with HAL 9000. He was the, in that movie Odyssey, I think, he was like the house, like the red button.
Oh,
I cannot do that, Jane.
Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah, HAL 9000. I'm getting that right?
Creepy.
Yeah. Okay, so that's my fourth round pick right there.
Okay. My fifth, what am I going to do here? I'm going to go with John Doe, Kevin Spacey's character from the movie 7.
Nice.
He was absolutely terrifying.
What's in the box?
Guess what? It's your wife's head. Oh, my God.
Oh, 2001, A Space Odyssey. HAL 9000.
Yeah. Okay.
Final pick. I'm going to go with the guy who is named the bad guy. The big machismo. Razor Ramon. Scott Hall. Thank you, Curtis Anderson, our creative writer, the biggest wrestling fan I know.
Okay, wow.
The bad guy. He's got the toothpick, yeah?
I know nothing about this person.
Wow. Scott Hall.
Wow.
I won. I don't even think we need to throw this to the text or the Facebook page.
Okay, whatever.
Do you want to recap your team quickly here?
Sure. Number one, Hans Gruber from Die Hard. Number two was Kathy Bates from Misery. Number three, Clown Pennywise from It. Gave me nightmares for years. Darth Vader was number four. And number five was John Doe, a.k.a. Kevin Spacey from the movie Seven.
Not a bad squad.
That's a great squad. That's a terrifying, horrible, villainous squad.
Yeah, until you hear mine. Number one, Caillou. The most evil person out there.
Okay.
Number two, the dentist from Finding Nemo. Number three, the dentist's niece from Finding Nemo.
Okay.
Darla. Ugh. Number four, HAL 9000 from 2001, The Space Odyssey. And number five, Scott Hall, a.k.a. Razor Ramon.
Okay.
Wrestler from back in the 90s, the big machismo. I think I won.
I don't think you
for
did.
For creativity and humor purposes, I wiped the floor with you.
But is that what we're basing it on? Or are we not basing it on votes?
You know what? Yeah, okay. But in my head, I'm going to base it on that.
Yours was creative, definitely. But I'm going to have to say, based on actual votes, it's me.
Are you kidding me? Caillou could beat Darth Vader in a fight any day.
Kathy Bates, come on.
Kathy Bates versus Caillou? Caillou just sits in a corner and complains, "Where's my popsicle? I didn't want a purple one. I wanted a red one." Kathy Bates, I can't take
and
this
then
kid.
Once she breaks his ankles, it's over. This is very cool. A guy here in Saskatoon, he's a guitarist. His name is Dan. He created a virtual band basically via Zoom. Ooh. During the pandemic, and has said it has absolutely blown him away how many members he has. 1,100 members from all over the world. Afghanistan, Australia, Ireland, Czech Republic, New Zealand. People from everywhere have jumped in onto this virtual band.
Are they playing at the same time, or is it like a show up when you can and play whatever kind of thing?
I think it's a combination of all of that.
Oh, okay. Can you imagine all 1,100 at the same time?
Play a song.
You got
together.
60 people raising their hand. Oh, who's on mute? I can't hear you. What's going on, you guys?
Your camera's not on. I can't see your cello.
Tim, you're about 10 seconds behind everyone. It's really messing everything up, buddy.
Someone's like, can we do that again? Cut. The timing was off. My strings weren't ready.
Someone was late there coming in at the second chorus. Was that you, Dave, or Bob, or Jenny, or Kelly, or Lauren, or Madison, or Sebastian, or Abe, or Dave K, or Lionel, or Betty? It was one of you guys. Okay.
Wow, like, with the random names.
Thank you very much.
Wow.
I said Dave twice. I panicked.
Doesn't matter.
I know. Thank
That's
you very much.
Good. Did you hear what their name is?
No.
Perfect Strangers. Come on. Something wonderful happened yesterday. As the person in our household who cooks dinner, anytime I don't have to cook dinner, it's amazing.
It's the best.
It's such a good feeling. Like if on a Sunday my parents invite us for dinner, it's like, oh, yes, I look forward to it. Mm-hmm. I know that there's no dinner being made at our house. It feels so good.
Especially when it's like 2:30 in the afternoon and you realize I haven't thawed anything from the freezer. And probably going to spend $30 on a pizza anyway. Boom. Last minute invite. The best.
Well, that's what happened yesterday. We went to Sean's parents. It was his dad's birthday. Drop off a little present.
Mm-hmm.
And we're visiting for a little bit. And then Sean's mom was like, well, do you guys want to stay for supper?
You didn't get the original birthday supper? You got the last minute birthday supper?
Well, no, it was his birthday supper.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
But, yeah, it was a last minute thing because, I don't know, it's still weird with COVID. I know we can do it.
Yeah.
It's just the invites don't happen as freely anymore.
Gotcha.
It's
gotcha.
Weird.
No, I gotcha. It's, you know, you're still kind of learning the process.
Exactly.
Again, right?
It's like you have to remember how to invite someone for dinner.
Yeah.
So anyway, we look at each other and in my mind, I'm like, yes, we do. Yes, we do. Sean's like, yeah, sure. You know, like, we'll stay for supper. And so that last minute surprise of just like, oh my God, I don't have to make dinner.
It's the best.
Felt so good.
Oh yeah.
But icing on the cake is what we had for dinner. As soon as we walked into Sean's parents' place, I smelt grease. And I was like, oh yeah, I know what has gone down in this house. Sean's mom made roll cucan. And if you are a Mennonite and you know what's what, roll cucan is the best in the summertime. It's served with watermelon. It is literally just pieces of deep fried dough. That's it. because Mennonites back in the day, not a wealthy people, and we would just cook things out of like flour, eggs, maybe a little bit of milk in there. It was so basic, and that's all it is. It's just fried dough and watermelon, but there's something about it. It's so delicious, and that's what we had for dinner, was just piles of dough with watermelon.
You know how they say breakfast of champions? Supper of champions.
It was.
Right there. We were just talking about Rolhuken. Am I saying that right?
Rolhuken.
Rolhuken?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like Jake Peralta in Brooklyn Nine-Nine trying to say Charles Boyle's kid's name.
Nikolaj.
Nikolaj?
No, it's...
Nikolaj?
Nikolaj.
Nikolaj. Rolhuken. Rolhuken.
You're saying it wrong.
All right. I got this call at 306-938-0963 from Ellie.
My first meal with my husband, who's Mennonite, was the watermelon with the big piles of dough.
Rolhuken. Yes.
Yes. But it was really funny because I was about 5 minutes late, and I thought, oh my gosh, they ate supper already. They're having dessert now.
One of the inside jokes here on Cruise Mornings, and we've got a lot of them, Stacy is a snitch. Stacy has the bylaw officer's phone number in her contacts because she's that person on the block. How high are your hedges? They look higher than two and a half feet. Bylaw officer, I'm giving him a call.
The only time I called the bylaw officer is when I saw some contractors dumping cement in the back alley.
Snitches get stitches, Stacy. Snitches get
stitches.
Stitches. I was waiting for you to. Well played there. Well played there. Not gonna lie. I'm tempted to be a snitch.
Are you?
I'm tempted
what's
to call the bylaw
on?
Guy. Got some drama in the cul-de-sac. Now I'm not gonna say what's going on because I don't want to cause a kerfuffle. But for like 3 months now, there has been something going on in my cul-de-sac where we could call the bylaw officer and fix it.
Okay.
But it's not like this problem is causing any damage. It's not like it is decreasing property value, anything like that. It's just a nuisance.
It's an inconvenience.
It's an eyesore situation here, right? I could do it, but I don't want to be that person on the block because I live in a cul-de-sac.
Yep.
And the person who gets the complaint, they're going to know that it's someone in the cul-de-sac, obviously, right?
Well, then maybe they're going to assume it's like someone else, not you. They're not going to be like, it's definitely my neighbor right next to me.
I'm the new guy in the cul-de-sac. Even though I've been there for 3 years, everyone else has been there for like 10 plus. So they all have a relationship. We're still kind of the new people on the block.
Okay, here's
so they'll think it's for sure us. I don't know what to do here.
What you do is you butter up the person in question. You become friends with them.
We already are. We already are.
Then you're good. They're never going to suspect you. They'll never know. They're going to know.
They're going to know. Who's going to know?
No one's going to know.
I'm in kind of a bummer mood today. My dog is getting her eye removed today. Her only eye. After thousands of drops, a bunch of procedures, a bunch of money. It's got to go. She's going to be a blind doggy. She's going to have no eyes.
No.
She's not even two.
Yeah.
It was an autoimmune disease. Shout out to everyone at Orchard Veterinary Care, the small animal hospital at the U of S there. They were great with her. They're so good with her. It's just one of those things, way she goes. She was born with it, and a bunch of ulcers on her corneas. Not fun.
Not fun for her.
Imagine every time you blink, it's like sandpaper.
Oh my.
That's what was going on with my dog's eyes.
Yeah, and that is the worst feeling.
It's got to go, right? So it's going to be tough for a while. Like, she already knows the house, right? Like, she knows the cabin. She slowly went blind. Like, it just kind of like, it wasn't like you're blind all of a sudden kind of thing.
It was gradual.
It was gradual. So that was kind of a blessing in disguise, I guess. I mean, the whole your eye is slowly getting eaten away when you blink thing wasn't a blessing, but whatever. It sucks because, like, my wife and I went through a tough time. Like, we lost our twins at like 10 and 11 weeks, right? So if it wasn't for our dog, I don't know what we would do.
Exactly.
And her reward for being there for us through a miscarriage was blindness. Like, come on.
But dogs have such a good, like you had even said too, despite what she was going through, her attitude and her personality and her temperament was still really good.
Like, happiest
she was
dog
still
ever.
A happy pup.
Nicest dog.
Yeah.
Like, she'll just smoke the coffee table because she's still kind of not used to it and just be smiling. But the only crappy thing is she's going in for surgery right now.
Right.
And I can't be there with her.
Yeah.
But she recognizes my voice very, very well. And I'm a radio DJ. So she's listening right now. So Kipper,
in the car?
She's listening in the car right now. So Kipper, you hear me? Kipper, hi baby girl. Kipper, you're going to be okay. Everything's going to be fine. You're going to get the good drugs. You're going to be feeling great when you wake up. Trust me. And everything's going to be okay. All right. It's going to be kind of weird. You got to go to the place you don't like, the eye pokey place, but it's going to be fine. Okay, baby. It's going to be fine. Little Kippy. You're going to be a-okay. I'll be there right afterwards. You'll be okay, right? You'll be okay. Who's a good girl? Who's a good girl? Good job, Kippy. Good job.
Aww.
I am such a softie.
You really are. Goodness. Pot shops on every corner, it seems like. They're opening a lot of them. There are a lot in Saskatoon.
Pot shops are the new frozen yogurt shops.
100%.
Remember five yes. years ago, those things were popping up all over the place. Now it's cannabis.
Absolutely. And there's a guy in Ontario. He really wants Canada to allow cannabis restaurants and cafes. And when he says that, he means like a restaurant that serves cannabis infused food.
So not like cafes in Amsterdam where like you can get a coffee and smoke a joint at the same time. It's just like
the food to actually be like I said, infused with marijuana. Here's the deal. He himself suffers from Crohn's, which is a very unfortunate intestinal disease. And so when it comes to edibles for marijuana, which is how he chooses to dose himself with THC, a lot of them come in like gummies, chewy candies, brownies, cookies, sweet things. But he wants to be able to just eat it in a regular food.
So he wants to like have that weed-infused butter, weed-infused gravy, which, yes, exists.
It exists.
You can get baked by eating gravy.
Well, you can put, that's the thing, is you can put weed into any food, basically.
Anything.
It might taste funny.
Ranch.
But you could have ranch dressing, exactly.
You can have weed ranch, which, I mean, that's another restaurant idea right there, Stacey. We got Pickies. The place with four things on the menu for picky eaters. I forget what our other restaurant idea was.
The Leftovers.
Leftovers, that's right. Where we put any leftover and just wrap it up in a wrap. Now we can have Weed Ranch, where the ranch comes with weed.
Or what if you got like a weed pizza? You know what I mean? Like that's what he's looking for.
Exactly.
He also wants to open his own restaurant, so that's his whole deal. He wants to call it Les Munchies.
Oh, that's clever.
I don't know.
I'm more of a weed ranch kind of guy, but I
Welcome
mean,
to the
each
weed
their
ranch.
Own. Welcome to the weed ranch. Yeah, I'll have a side salad with 9 extra sides of ranch, please. Thank you very much. Just sitting there doing shots of ranch dressing.
Stacey and Clayton, weekday mornings 6 to 10 on Cruise.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.